Blog Talk Radio.
Joy to the apostle! He is a psalmist of celebration! He is a sanctified singer! Come on, live from Podium Records, a division of Bountiful Blessings Ministry, I want you to receive. Let's receive the presiding greeting of the church of God in Christ, Bishop Gilbert.
You may be seated. We want to, on tonight, take you back, those who are in my age category and older, and a few that are younger. We want to take you back to the old church. In fact, when this particular CD shall be released, it will just simply be Bishop E. Patterson and congregation singing the old time way. Yeah. And everything that we will do tonight can somewhat be casualized from this verse of scripture from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and seek, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now understand that we are not here to condemn the modern praise and worship music or any other music. In fact, I hear bits and pieces of the old songs that I was raised on. I hear them cropping up in various songs. And by putting this particular CD on the market, it's going to provide even more information for the modern singers to choose from. My only concern is that I want you to know how it was in its original form. Therefore, tonight, if we don't shout too much between songs, we've got a list of about 45 songs tonight. So, as it has already been said, tonight we're just going to have church. How many folks ready to have church? All right. Be flat. I might be old time singing and shouting. I might be old time away. I might be old time singing and shouting. I might be old time away. I might be old time preaching and praying.
I love you.
King Jesus. Now, they're making somebody here tonight that you once had blessed fellowship with the Lord, but as time went on, you strayed away from the church, forgot about your relationship with the Lord. But I hope something will be said tonight during this recording that will help you to decide it's time to go back to Jesus. I'm going back to Jesus. I'm going back to Jesus. Lord, where do you want to go? Oh, I can hear my Savior calling. Look at the tears of the Lord. My heart goes back to Jesus. And I'm a mother. Oh, I'm going back to Jesus. I'm going back to Jesus.
You will be always. You are the one who is Thank you. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. Let's concentrate on him and worship him. He is all our righteousness. We stand complete in him, and we have come to worship him. Now, I know you've been worshiping the Lord, but right now, I want you to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a standing ovation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Or you can make a loud noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down, I honor the presence of the Lord, of course, but I also honor the presence of your papa. I thank God for the visionary, the man that God has given to oversee for your soul. So put your hands together and salute your papa. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And all of the ministers and pastors and leaders, I salute you in the name of Jesus. Just hug somebody and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. This is my first time being in this church, but not my first time to Ghana. I remember when I first came to Ghana, there weren't that much excitement. But now the economy has shifted, and now the Lord is blessing Ghana and opening doors for Ghana. Amen. And I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. We brought some tapes, some CDs with us. And I promise you that these CDs will bless you and your family and your friends and your neighbors. So you have all kinds of CDs at the tape table. And just go back there and get it. We don't have a whole lot of them. So first come, first serve. Amen. Tell your neighbor you better get there first. You better get there first. Amen. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 20, the 20th Psalm, the 20th Psalm. And I'm going to read all 9 verses. If you have a Bible, you can share with me. That's Psalm 20, verses 1 through 9. I'm reading from the King James Version. And I would like you to join me as we look at this scripture together, the 20th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And here's the key verse. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. The subject tonight is the ability to remember. Tell your neighbor, you better remember, you better remember. In America, thank you. In America, we have a lot of research being done about Alzheimer's disease. I don't know if you hear about that here, but Alzheimer's is on the rise. What is Alzheimer? It is a common cause of dementia. It is a loss of the ability to think, to remember, to reason, and in its last stages, even the ability to take care of simple needs. They're doing a lot of research. Great men and women who were scientists and lawyers and doctors were stricken and can be stricken by the ability to forget. And as I travel all over the world, I see that the church is suffering from spiritual Alzheimer's. The more the Lord does for us is the more we forget. So tonight the psalmist comes to us, and I love the psalm. I love the psalm because the psalm takes you into the life of Israel. If you want to know how they worship God, if you want to know how Jesus worshiped, if you want to know how the disciples worship, you look in the Psalms. They didn't mention too much about worship in the New Testament because they didn't have to. When you look in the Psalms, they sang, they clapped, they danced, they yelled, they shouted. And the Psalms talk to you about how you felt about God. If you were depressed, you called on the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemy. If you were fearful, you would say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If you were passionate about your relationship with the Lord, you can say like David, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so that my soul panteth longeth after thee. So the psalm is a reflection of deep felt passion, deep felt emotion. But the psalms also taught us how to have piety, devotion, commitment to the Lord. It opens the book by saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he what? Meditate, remember day and night. And this man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Tell your neighbor, you better remember. Now, this particular psalm is taking you into the life of perhaps David. We're not quite sure, but it's about the king, the leader, the person in the forefront going out to battle and facing the enemy on behalf of the nation. It's talking about the leader who is standing on the front line and having to defend the nation or fight the opposition so that the people can be protected. We have many, many leaders. We have leaders in the church. We have political leaders. You have leaders on your job. So leaders need to be prayed for. Your pastor needs prayer. The leader is as great as a prayer that's offered to him or offered on behalf of him. So in this particular text, this king is going out to battle, and this particular king now is being supported by the people. And the first thing that their agreement is, the first point is, my defense. What is your defense? Where do you get your defense from? Where do you get your protection from? And the psalmist said, the Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble, and the name of God of Jacob defend me. Now, many people have all kinds of ways of defending themselves. Some walk with knives, some walk with guns, some walk with bombs. Terrorists have ways of protecting themselves. Many people here, you have history perhaps of how you protected yourself by fighting for yourself. And even in the church, people still fight for themselves and protect themselves. It's only the true saint realizes my defense is in the Lord. The only one that truly takes care of me is the Lord. And it's talking about the name of the Lord. You know, I know in Africa, name means a lot. You know, when I was with a bishop Nigeria, he gave me a name, and the name means good joy. But in America, we seem to name people without any meaning. Some of these names, they can't hardly spell it. It has no meaning. But in most countries and cultures, the name has meaning. So does your God's name has meaning. His name is his character. His character is his name. And if you don't know the name of God, you don't know who is defending you. You don't know all of the privileges, and you don't know the opportunity and the power that you have. If you're afraid, you don't know that your God is a God of peace. His name is Jehovah Shalom. If you're jammed up and you don't have any money, you need to know that your God's name is your own. If you want to get it straight and live holy, you need to know that your God is a God of righteousness, Jehovah Tishkenu. You have to know that your God is El. Your God is Elohim. Your God is the God of the Almighty God. And the word Almighty means who can contend with him. It means who can fight him. That means there's nobody in the ring with him. There's nobody that can knock him out. Lord have mercy. The song says, who can dethrone him? Who can kill him? Our God reigns. So my defense is in the Lord. So the king is going out to fight it. The people are saying, we're covered. We're covered. Tell your neighbor, I'm covered. I'm covered. I don't care how terrible the challenge is. The name of the Lord is a banner over me. The name of the Lord is my protection. The name of the Lord will defend me. All I've got to do is use the name of the Lord. The Bible said Jesus was given a name above every name. And at this name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. So instead of cursing, I just use the name of Jesus. Instead of fighting, I just use the name of Jesus. Instead of giving up, I use the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. He is going to what? Defend me. He's going to protect me. He's going to secure me. He's going to build a hedge around me. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for the Lord stepping in just in time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous running therein and say, Lord have mercy. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He's a hiding place. He's the one that puts us under his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the what? Shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. The psalmist said, and when the wicked come upon me like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord takes a stand against him. Tell your neighbor, remember this. He's not only your defense, but he's our help. He's our help. In the second verse of that book, of that chapter, or that psalm rather, it says, send thee help from the sanctuary. I know that he can help you in the car. I know that he can help you in the bathroom. I know he can help you on the job. I know he can help you in the marketplace. But there's nowhere that you can get the greatest amount of help than when we gather together in the sanctuary. That's why you don't stay home when church is in session. That's why you come to church, because every time you come, there is help. Every time we sing a song, there is help. Every time somebody shouts hallelujah, there is help. Every time there's a clap, clap, there is help. Every time you leap, there is help. Every time you go up and call his name, there is help. Help is in the sanctuary. My God, you may be depressed at home, but help is is in the sanctuary. Maybe broke, not have any money, but I'm going to church because there's help in the sanctuary. I need to surround myself with the praying saints. I need to surround myself with the worship. I need to join my voices with the saints in singing the songs. And as I sing praises unto God, he inhabits the praises of his people. So help is in the sanctuary tonight. Tonight, wherever you're sitting, help is there. I don't care who is sitting next to you, help is there. All you've got to do is give him honor and give glory. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh, just come with expectation. Come knowing that the Lord is your defense. He said, if I am for you, who can be against you? He said, I'll be your rear guard and your battle axe and the lifter of your head. I'll make your crooked path straight. I'll make a mountain into a plain. I will dry up the river and give you crossing. Somebody ought to put their hands together and praise him right now. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes, but in the original it literally means, shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills? In other words, some people worship nature. Some people worship the hills and the ground. Some people worship the sun and the moon. The hills are not my help, but the God of the hills. the God who scooped out the hills, the God who carved out the universe, the God who threw out the dust and the dust became man. So I'm not looking to nature, I'm not looking to people, and I'm not looking to government, I'm looking unto the Lord. He is my present help in a time of trouble. Oh, many of you are angry because people won't help you, and many are upset because somebody didn't give you what you asked for, or you're disappointed in situations, or you lost your job, or the government. We seem to think that political help is the extent of help. No, political help comes from the Lord. The Lord takes down some and puts some others. So even politicians need God. Oh, but right in my little corner, I'm not looking to the right or to the left. I'm not looking to man or I'm not looking to people. I'm going to lift my eyes unto the God of the hills. From whence cometh my help? Tell your neighbor, help is coming, help is coming. And so when I come to the sanctuary, what is the sanctuary? The sanctuary in the Bible is a place where God pulls up his throne. It's a place where God sits down. And when he sits down, he calls court. And when he calls court, he's calling for cases. And your case might be up tonight. Your name might be on the list tonight. So when he sits down in your praise, he's actually saying, I see you, I hear you, and I've come to deliver you. So you better praise him so he could see you, hear you, and come to the sanctuary. It is a place where he comes. The Bible tells us just a little bit hint of how God functions and how he sits in the middle of his people. John was extremely discouraged, the last apostle to be alive that was cast on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible said that God gave him a vision, gave him a moment, gave him an experience. The Bible said he had a visitation. Tell somebody, that's all I need is a visitation. I just need a visitation. He was discouraged because there was so much apostasy, so much hypocrisy, so many people who were saying one thing and living another way, people who came to church and were still living like the world. And so God had to take him up to heaven to show him it may be a mess down here, but there's something glorious going on up there. And the Bible said that God took John up in a vision. And what did John see? John saw one sitting on a throne. And when he was sitting on the throne, he saw all kinds of creatures worshiping. He saw angels with two wings they flew, and with two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their genitalia. And they worshiped the Lord and said, thou art worthy
to receive glory. I said he's worthy tonight. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure thou hast created. And not only that, he saw 24 elders, leaders who have accomplished their goals, leaders who have fought the fight and finished the fight. Leaders who have given up their eyes for the gospel, and now they stood before God as accomplished men with crowns on their head. And the Bible said they took off their accomplishments because they're before the throne of the glorious one. They became less than so he could become everything. And that's what worship is, becoming nothing so he could be everything. And the Bible said they took off their crowns, ladies and gentlemen, and they rolled before him, and they adored him, for he's worthy to be praised, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. So when you set foot in the sanctuary, come out of your pain, come out of your discouragement, come out of your frustration, and open your mouth and bless the Lord, and say like David, I will bless the Lord. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Where is my help? In the sanctuary. Where is my help? In the middle of praise. And he says, as I come to the sanctuary, I will be strengthened. One of the tactics of the enemy is to weaken you in the fight, to weary you, to wear you out. It's not that you're not going to win the battle. I tell you, maybe you already won. You already won. Jesus already gave you victory. But it's in the waiting period that he wants to knock you out so that you won't acquire and receive what God has for you. He wants to make you hang your head. He wants you to denounce God. He wants you to give up on God. He wants you to stop singing and praising and coming to church. He wants you to quit doing what God has called you to do because you don't see it, you think it won't happen. But when you come to the sanctuary, David said, when I looked, I saw the unrighteous, I saw the wicked, I saw the low down, wicked, evil people getting blessed, buying new cars and buying homes, evil, weaver, adulterous people. And I got discouraged until I got in the sanctuary. And when I got in the sanctuary, I got convicted, because God corrected my erroneous thinking. And when I realize that I have more than they have, whom am I in heaven but thee? And there is none that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. When you worship, you get strength. When you worship, you get courage. When you worship, you're able to go back in the fight. When you worship, you can lift up your head. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is your King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Come on, do I have a church in here? The Lord mighty in battle. Come on and put your hands together and let me hear your praises for your King. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Rebushkabas. With the answer of I, with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, somebody being held in here tonight. If you weren't being held, you would have lost your mind. But don't you feel the hand of God holding you? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of discouragement, you haven't lost your mind. Somebody, I got help, I got help. I may not have money, but I got help. Put your hands together for help. I got help. Not only do I have help, but I have power. I have defense. I have help.
but I also have power. And you can find it right here in the text. It says here, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of the Lord God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. One of the problems that people have, you and I have, is when we're discouraged, we give up our praise. When we are weary in the fight, we won't raise our hands. It's very difficult to praise God in the difficulty. But that's where the secret is. Tell somebody that's where the secret is. If you can only train your flesh, you have to train your flesh. You have to tell your flesh, you don't want to praise God, but you won't praise God tonight. You don't want to raise your hand, but come on, hand. Come on up now. Come on up. Your heart is broken, but lift up your head and open your mouth. You've got to talk to yourself. Oh, we've got examples in the Bible of people who taught themselves out of trouble. The Bible said that David was terribly discouraged because he made such a poor choice. He wanted to join the Philistines against his own people. And the Bible said that the Amalekites came and all the women and children and took them down as hostages in a camp. And when he came back, all of the men's wives and children were gone, and they were so upset they wanted to stone him. And the Bible said David wept until he had no more strength to weep. But then he turned to the Lord in the middle of his weeping. Tell your neighbor that's where you go when you're weeping. You don't tell people, you tell God. Cry unto the Lord. And he said, God, what should I do? I'm discouraged. But the Bible said he encouraged himself. When you don't have anybody to encourage you, you encourage yourself. When you don't have anybody to pray for you, you pray for yourself. When nobody's around to lift you, you sing a new song. Or somebody needs to praise him tonight, because God is getting ready to lift your spirit. And David went to the Lord and encouraged himself in the Lord. And then the Lord gave him an answer. You see, it's only when you praise you get answers. As long as you're depressed, you're not going to hear anything. But when you praise God, you open up the atmosphere for God to give you a word. And that's why the enemy wants to shut it down. He wants to shut down the answer. And he shuts it down by shutting up your mouth. And you need to tell the devil, get off my mouth. My mouth does not belong to you. I will open my mouth and bless the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You want to tell the devil, I shouldn't praise him, but I will. I don't feel good, but I will praise him. My heart is broken, but I will praise him. There's power in praise. Oh, come on, put your hands together. I said there's power. There's power in your hallelujah. There's power in your thank you, Jesus. There's power in your glory to God. There's power in your thank you, God. Oh, come and put your hands together. I said there's power in praise.
You know, he said we will rejoice. And the word rejoice here in the Hebrew means I will jump and twirl around in a dance. So when people tell you that you're too noisy, it doesn't take all of that. They don't understand the scriptures. Now, they didn't even get in the battle yet. The king is getting ready to go in battle. But they're acting as if they won the battle. Because you only rejoice, literally, when you win. If you win the gold medal, you rejoice. If you win the fight, you rejoice. You don't rejoice before you win the fight. But in Christianity, in biblical Christianity, you rejoice before the fight. Somebody ought to praise him right now. Said, I will rejoice. I will. It didn't say I feel like rejoicing, because it's not based on feelings. It's based on a matter of will. It's a mental resolve. It's something you say to yourself inside of what you feel. I will rejoice. I will bless the Lord. Pain is all over my body, but I will rejoice. I don't have a job,
And the Lord says he will come and bless us when we rejoice. What are we rejoicing? In the name of our God. And we talked about it before. We talked about the name of God. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy wants us to be spiritually unintelligent because he doesn't want us to know who we have. Lord, have mercy. There is no God like our God, you see. You see, there is no God but our God. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. You see what I'm saying? He rules in the affairs of man. He's got the last say. He doesn't need a committee. He doesn't need a vote. Whatever he says is law. As a matter of fact, he already said it. He doesn't have to say it again. Everything was done before the foundation of the world. Even your salvation was done before you committed the first sin. The Bible said, and the Lamb was slain. And the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before your mama met your daddy, he chose you to be his. And the devil can't have you. Come on and thank God for being God. He's an untimed God. He is from eternity to eternity. He is the Lord of the heavens. He is the Lord of the earth. And he's the Lord of the underworld. No demon can stop him. He's got all things in the power of his mouth. Put your hands together. He's an awesome God. I said he's awesome. I said he's awesome. Tell your neighbor, remember this. Remember it when things are tight. Remember it when it seems as if nothing will happen. But remember that he did it in the past and he'll do it again. Remember that he's a conquering king. Remember that when he starts something, he finishes it. Remember that there's no weapon that can stop him. There's no blockade, my God. There's nobody that can outthink him, outsmart him, or outmaneuver him. His hands is not short that it cannot save. My God, he moves in the greatness of his strength. He's a mighty God. Elyon is his name. He's the ruler of the universe. And every demon in hell knows it. That's why when you say Jesus, they back up. Come on and put your hands together for your God. I said, he's your God. Tell your neighbor, he's my papa. He's my papa. The last thing is, before I get to the last point and I'm finished, is that when I praise him, he fulfills my petitions. Now, let me just say to you that the petitions are not just whims. He's not going to. That is not according to his plan for my life. If the Lord wants you to stay in Accra and minister, there's no use trying to ask him to send you to Germany. And many of us are frustrated with God because our prayers are not in keeping. And many times we hear prophecy, and you take prophecy, there's a generalized prophecy. But there's a journey that God has each of us on. And you've got to know that if he says something here, he's not going to change it over there. So when we say petitions, we're not just talking about any old thing that we think we want because somebody else has it. Or we believe if we had that, we'd be a better person. Right now where you are, you got heaven's best. Don't make it, you got heaven's best. Holes in your shoes, you got heaven's best. Doors slammed in your face, but you got heaven's best. So your petitions are being answered. Tell your neighbor, your petitions are being answered. The only thing is,
name so much. We use that word. We talk about having a wonderful time. This is a wonderful person. That was a wonderful experience. But when I read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says his name shall be called Wonderful. So the next time somebody calls you and tell you you're just wonderful, don't take them too serious. His name shall be called Wonderful. And it is a wonderful experience. And you can say, to me, it's so wonderful. To me, it's so wonderful. Yes,
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, this one, I don't want anybody to stand up. I want you to sing in your seat. But I want you to think back. And I want you to remember the day when the Lord saved you. And especially remember the day when that time and the Holy Ghost. That's why I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up until I get to your day. But once I get to your day, then you can stand up and keep on standing until you get to the end. It goes like this. I was standing at the altar when the Father was there. When the Father was there. Thank you.
to on tonight, we want to take you back to the old church.
So as it has already been said, tonight we're just going to have a church. How many folks ready to have a church? No. The next four songs, I want to explain to you that we live in a day now when most churches, especially the mega churches, they center on preaching positive self-image, prosperity. And in many churches now, we don't even have communion. But the saints of old understood that you will not redeem the corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot. So the next four songs, these songs are centered on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to start it off when I see the blood. Brother Andre Hayes is going to come behind the word. I know a lot of blood. And it's not a rope, he's going to take it up with the blood for the wheels. No, I'm going to close it out with, I know his blood has made me whole. All right. When I see the blood, I'm going
And there was something about it that when they felt the Holy Ghost connection, you are spirit. We heard the Holy Ghost say, Jesus is on the moon land. What you want? Evangelist Patricia Crutcher.
Thank you. Hallelujah.